forgiveness and beg your pardon for rushing any of you who might have been rushed by my standing during the offering. So I'm sorry. Don't want that to be a time when you feel like you're rushed, because it's a part of worship that's an important part of our time together. So what about all these hard times? What about end times, last days, final judgment, pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture? What is it that we need to know? What is it that we need to do? Paul in 2 Timothy 3:1 says, there will be terrible times in the last days. What can we expect? We can expect terrible times in the last days. Notice what Paul says and what he does not say. Paul gives a list of character traits. He does not address government or government situations or world alliances. Do you get that? Paul's talking about end times, last days. They're going to be terrible. What he talks about here is character traits of people, and he does not talk about government or world alliances. I kind of thought that was interesting too, as he talks about these terrible times in the last days. So, you know, with Paul making this emphasis, I thought it was worthwhile this morning for me to take the time to walk through this long list of things that Paul is giving about character traits of people that are not serving the Lord and are creating these terrible times. Now, as I walk through this list again that Paul has given, I'm going to be making a few statements in relationship to each of these things. But what I want you to do is I want you to think about how these character traits of individuals in these last days are going to make these last days so horrible. And I'll make some comments, but we'll not comment on all of those. First of all, Paul addresses the how not to act. Paul says these people in the last days are going to be lovers of themselves. I heard a statistic on the news this week. For Christmas shoppers, 60% of Christmas shoppers this season are going to be shopping for themselves. Yeah. Lovers of themselves. 60% of the people buying Christmas gifts this season are buying gifts for themselves. Lovers of themselves. Selfishness. There's going to be more and more an attitude of selfishness that permeates these latter days and these last times. Think about that. And think about the ramifications of that in relationship to how that's going to impact these last days. Lovers of money. People lie, cheat, and steal. Have you seen it? I'm sure you probably have. I've seen it. I've heard people talk about it. That lovers of money attitude that causes people to do things that they might not have done 50 years ago because there was a different attitude. Attitudes are changing. In Paul's time talking to Timothy, he identified this as one of those attitudes of the latter days. Boastful and proud. People are snooty and arrogant. Whoops. They're proud, boastful. I think we see more and more of that as we watch the news and as we listen to people. There's going to be abusiveness, an attitude of abusiveness. It's interesting to me, interesting, that American society still stands against abuse. You know, the NFL, the big thing in the NFL is standing against abuse. They're doing these advertisements now. All of you who watch any NFL football on Sunday afternoon, this afternoon, you're going to see the advertisement where, you know, a couple people, several people come on and they say it has to stop. You know, no excuses, no ifs, no whatever. And they're talking about the abusiveness that has been evident and seen by these football players who think they can do whatever they want to do and get away with it. So, you know, there's still a sense by a large part of our country that this is wrong and we're standing against it. However, at the same time, we continue to see an increase in child abuse and sexual abuse cases. So it's something that, you know, the NFL's standing against, America still believes against, and yet it's increasing. Paul says that's going to be a reality. A fifth thing, children are disobedient to parents. There's less discipline by parents because of fear that someone's going to say, oh, you're abusing your kids. Okay? And, you know, it seems like there are more and more children at younger ages who are not showing respect to parents and grandparents, not showing respect. You know, there's a fine line between discipline and abuse, and there's a reality that a person needs to earn respect. I think sometimes, and maybe oftentimes in families, the parental example is so bad that, you know, it's hard for me to even blame kids for not respecting their parents. Shouldn't say that, should I? A child should respect their parent no matter what because they're their parent. But on the other side of that, and I think part of what Paul would say here is that, you know, adults are not living the way they need to live to train and teach their children what they need to know to earn the respect that should be there. And part of that is a lack of understanding and knowing God's way and God's will and what God wants. But this is one of the things that Paul identifies here that there's going to happen more and more, that children are not going to be obedient to their parents. A sixth thing, ungratefulness. Not thankful for the things we have. Complain, complain, complain. Now, if we were in the world, we'd hear other words used for that. Complain, complain, complain. Not thankful. In our Wednesday nights, we've been doing a thing coming up to Thanksgiving of thankfulness. And I don't know if you noticed at our dinner last Sunday, our Thanksgiving dinner, there were turkeys up on the chalkboard, and they had feathers on with words of thanks. We did that in our Wednesday night. Christians, especially Christians, we need to set an example for our world of thanksgiving. We need to show people that we are thankful, that we aren't just going to be part of that complain, complain, complain group, but we're going to show thankfulness. Without love. A lack of caring for others. God loves everyone. And we're to do the same. How is it that somehow we have come to believe that we do not need to love some people? How is it that somehow we have come to believe that not everyone needs to be loved by us? That's not God's word. God loves everyone. It's clear in the scriptures that that is what God says. And what are we to do? Love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love as God loves. Without love. Now, there are several here that are really tied together very closely. The next one is unforgiving. Without love, you know, it's easy to be unforgiving. If we love someone, we're going to forgive them. We're going to work with them. We're going to say, you know, you did wrong, and you shouldn't do that, but you know, I forgive you. I'm going to stand with you. I want to help you learn to do better. I want to help you do better. Paul says there's going to be more and more people who are unforgiving, who are not willing to forgive. I think that ties into this whole thing of ungratefulness and without love. I think it ties into the boastful and proud attitude that's part of us. When we're boastful and proud, we think we have all the answers. We think we're right. We're kind of like those NFL players who, just because I can, I do. And we're unwilling to forgive because we're proud and we're boastful. And then Paul says, slanderous. How do you talk about other people? It's Paul's question here. He says, in the end times, in the latter times, there's going to be lots of slander. They're going to be terrible times because, yo, you Christians, us Christians, guess what? There are going to be people out there that are slandering us. You know, I was in a conversation recently in a situation where some individuals that I knew were being spoken of and talked about. And I was taken aback by this person who was speaking, and I didn't express my thoughts. I didn't think it was appropriate. But they were words of slander against another person. And I felt like it was totally unjustifiable. I felt like this person who was speaking didn't really know what they were talking about. But what was happening was this person was talking out of their own attitude of sin and expectation of sin and evil rather than a godly expectation of love and care for others. 10th thing, without self-control. You never know what to expect out there, do you? All the shootings that are taking place, is any place safe? No, not really. Is Abilene safe? No, not really. Without self-control, lack of self-control, it's happening more and more and more. Signs of the end times, it's what Paul says here. Without self-control, we're going to see more and more of that. The police ask, well, why did you do it? Everybody wants to know, why did you do it? Paul has the answer here. No self-control. Self-control of that anger. Self-control of that attitude of, yo, I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then Paul says, brutal. This past week, if you've been watching the news from Wichita, the woman, mother of four children, this morning, she died. She was brutally beaten and raped and burned. End times, brutality, brutal. There's nothing nice to say about it. It's evil. end times are going to be terrible. Could be one of us. ISIS, brutality, beheading, line them up, kill them. Latter days, latter times are going to be terrible. Yes, we're in the end days. Then, not lovers of the good. We've talked about doing good. We've talked about, you know, just that whole idea of good, doing good. Paul says, in the latter days, they're not going to want to do good, not lovers of the good. Then he says they're treacherous. They devise bad against other people. And they're rash. They'll act on a whim. You know, who knows what sets a person off? We don't know. There's going to be more and more of that. Conceited, it goes back to the boastful and proud. Think about myself rather than others. Then he says they have something that looks like godliness, but it isn't. You know, I think there are many people out there who are nice people, who look pretty good. But what they have is not godliness. It's something that they've... It's like the whole thing with, NFL. That's not godliness. Okay? It may look good, may look like it is, and it has some character traits, some qualities of that, but it's not. Okay? It comes from purely a humanistic standpoint, a humanistic base and foundation, and it only goes as deep as that. Then he says there are those sneak thieves who try to control, and in the scripture it says gullible women. In my notes I said gullible people. Yeah, I've heard numbers of you talk about all the phone calls you get. And yo, we know that it's true that there are people who prey on the elderly. How gullible are we? Well, there are lots of people who are going to take advantage of us if we're gullible. There are those sneak thieves, those people who are out there who are just trying to get for themselves, who are trying to hurt others. They're treacherous. They're sneak thieves. I kind of wonder if Paul didn't live about right now. His message is very, very good for our day. And then people have all kinds of evil desires. And I think, we have no idea here in Abilene what that's like. If we were to go and live in one of the major cities of the world, if we were to go to New York City or San Francisco or L.A. or, London or, one of the other major cities of the world, we would see this progressive growing of those evil desires that people have. We do see it in the news, though, and we hear it from time to time. And then finally here, Paul says, always seeking knowledge, but never finding and acknowledging the truth. The internet and information is so available to us. And people are gathering information. And one of the things that people are doing is they're gathering that information that fits with their worldview. They're not going to the Bible and saying, everything has to stack up to the Bible. But they're setting their own worldview and they're gathering all this information around them. And there's more that was said about that. Now, I want to go to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read this. Ooh, we're getting late here. Okay, I'll try to move through this as quickly as possible, but we need to hear this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and following. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being. And the earth was formed out of the water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And I'm going to stop there just to make a couple points. Peter says, scoffers come making fun of God's word. How many times have you been in conversations or listened to conversations where people disclaim the reality of God as creator? We've seen it. We hear it. Latter days, that's what's going to happen. People are going to follow their own desires. Like I was saying, they're going to build that foundation that is theirs, that they've gathered from here and there, is not from the Word of God. It is their own. They deliberately forget God, His Word, and His creation. With the proliferation of these attitudes, there's going to be inevitable self-destruction. I believe one of the things that we are going to see with these kind of attitudes growing more and more, it's going to be a self-destruction. We're going to destroy ourselves in many ways. And there's going to be the tilling of the field for God's judgment. What the world wants is utopia, peace for all people, and especially for me. However, it's not going to happen because the world is letting God out of the equation. The world is seeking its own gratification. A time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they're going to gather around them what they want to hear. So what are we to do? Watch our lives for any of those signs of evil. Folks, I felt like I needed to deliberately go through that list of 20 things that Paul listed there in Timothy, because I think we need to examine ourselves. The old-time preachers would have said, yo, this is hellfire and brimstone time. If there's any of this stuff that you're involved in, you'd better get on your knees and repent. And that's exactly right. We need to listen to God's word, these things that Paul listed. I encourage you, it's not going to be easy, but I encourage you to go home and take this passage of Timothy, 2 Timothy, read it every day, pray over it every day. Say, God, where am I? Am I here? Do I need to repent and confess? I encourage you to do that. Come before the Lord. Don't be part of what's happening to make these end times terrible, but rather follow God's love and word. We need to expect persecution. That's number two. Three, we need to stay in God's word and let it teach and guide us. You've heard God's word this morning. What are you going to do with it? Acknowledge God's truth. Is God creator? Was there a flood? What's coming? Know that we are going to live through terrible times, but an end is coming. The heavens will be destroyed by fire. The elements will be melted in the heat. Did you see the two things that he's talked about there? Remember when the earth was covered with water? The time of Noah? The flood? Everything was destroyed. God wanted to give them a chance to start over. That's not going to happen again. The rainbow came. God's promise was it's not going to happen that way again. But notice here, and he speaks of both things. He speaks of the flood. Then what does he say? He says the heavens will be destroyed by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. How's it going to happen? There it is. And we see it in more places than just here. You want to know about the end times? You want to know about the judgment? Can you imagine it happening? I can. The sun, the rotation of the earth, you know, it wouldn't take but a tiny word from God or his finger just touching and throwing that imbalance out just slightly, and the world would be destroyed by fire. An end is coming. There are going to be terrible times and persecution that we're going to have to live through. Folks, post-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib, whatever. What are we to do? We're to trust our Lord and our God. We're to live for Him. Be holy as I am holy. We're to work at our Christianity. We're to work at the life that God wants for us. It says, make every effort to be found blameless and at peace with God. Are you at peace with God? I think probably there's a sense that all of us would say there's a sense of peace that we have. And I want to say again, yes, we can all live at peace with God, knowing that as we recognize sin in our lives and confess it and repent, that God forgives us. We're good to go. I'm ready. Yes. I know we're all kind of back there saying, yeah, Lord, come quickly. Indeed, I don't know what all is going to happen, but I know that Scripture says there are going to be terrible times, and we're going to live through some of them. We're living through some of them now. And these character traits that he was talking about here, we're seeing them, and we're seeing the proliferation of them. So we need to stand. We need to stand together as God's people. We need to put our arms around each other and encourage and bless each other and walk together as we experience these latter days. Amen.